About 10 students sit surrounded by cedar shavings after 2 days of carving. Instructor John Hudson has been carving for more than 30 years, but made his first cedar wind instrument about 7 years ago. At the time, he didn't know anyone else making them.
You know, you don't really see a lot of people using them now, and you don't really see them a lot out in the forefront now.
However, when he had the chance to look through the Smithsonian archives in Maryland, he saw quite a different picture.
I was kind of shocked that there was hundreds and hundreds of examples of whistles and reed instruments and things like that. I had the opportunity to look at them and shine lights in them and kind of see how they worked, and we even x-rayed some.
After he understood how they worked, he started carving his own and teaching others to do the same. The traditional uses for wind instruments are varied. Some were for personal ritual. Anthropologists documented some were used to represent supernatural events, and many were carved in the form of salmon and halibut to call the fish spirits for a bountiful catch.
There's lots of reasons, and I don't quite understand all of them. We might want to take some of these things and kind of make it more relevant to us today and come up with our own reasons behind using some of these things.
Longtime pilot Eddie Clark carved a detailed De Havilland beaver whistle. Ellen Carley was working on a seal.
So he's kind of swimming and his legs are his back flippers, yeah. And then I'm going to try to figure out what his insides look like and make a map of that with paint on his tummy. Because I'm doing research on gut skin.
For Tara Roberts, the idea to carve a howling wolf came quickly. Her sweatshirt says, "Wolves make me happy. You, not so much."
I love wolves. I worked in a wolf sanctuary, and also my clan is the wolf.
She was also working on a second whistle, a heart for her daughter.
Oh, I'm getting noise. At least I'm hearing something.
The whistles each started as a block of cedar. After the students chose a shape, the wood was split in half, and students used carving tools to hollow out two inner chambers on each half and shape their outer design. The deeper the air chamber, the deeper the sound. Then, an opening to blow into, and above the hollow chamber, a slit. So when someone blows, the air is forced through, creating a sound. Traditionally, the two pieces were tied together with spruce roots, but today, the students use wood glue. The workshop was a part of a week-long residency program in Anchorage, but Hudson was glad this portion was in Southeast.
They thought that since these traditions were from the, you know, Southeast area of Alaska, that it'd be fun to bring it here. And I'm right over Metlakatla, so it's been really cool doing it here in Ketchikan.
While a weekend workshop alone can't bring the whistles back into prominence, there are now a dozen or so new cedar whistles in Southeast, each with an individual intention and unique sound. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Ruth Eddy.